Ladies and gentlemen, episode number 186 of the Vex on Vex podcast. My name is VexX. Today, our guest is the lovely, the talented, dare I say, the daring Miss Danielle. What's up?
Hello.
Hello! Lean in a little bit. There you go.
Better?
Yes. When you were 12 years old, who were your top five favorite musical artists?
When I was 12 years old, top five... I think that's when I had started to really love Guns N' Roses.
Even then?
Yeah.
I love Guns N' Roses, as you may see. Go ahead.
Yes, Guns N' Roses, Skid Row.
Skid Row.
Bon Jovi.
No, we're going to fight over that, just so we're crystal clear.
You asked when I was 12, I'm just being totally honest.
Very upsetting.
Aerosmith.
Now, here's the thing. You loved 80s Aerosmith. You didn't even know about 70s Aerosmith, did you?
Just Dream On.
At least you know. I didn't either. I was a child. That's four.
Maybe Salt and Pepper.
I love Salt and Pepper. Did you ever see him in concert?
No, never.
What's wrong with you? You don't go to concerts. You don't do. Who was your first concert?
Metallica.
When? Roughly.
I was 15, so.
So Cliff's already dead. Jason Newsted's the bass player. Probably the Black album, right? What were they wearing? Did he have? Did James have long hair?
No. I don't think he did.
It's load time.
Well, what's 15 minus 41?
What year were you born? Let's do it that way.
81.
Okay, so 81, 96. 96, they'd cut their hair. They'd made a record called Load. No one likes it. Reload's like soon after, in 97.
Okay. And it was that time.
They did a free concert in Philadelphia right around then. Remember that?
It was really good. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Not a fan. I like James. He seems okay. Yeah. Lars is like, eh. And then we can just deconstruct the whole thing of the band. Let me tell you about my massive hatred of Bon Jovi. Not that you asked.
Okay.
And it's ironic that this is on the same list. You like Skid Row, right?
Yes.
Do you know who Snake Sabo is from Skid Row?
Yeah.
He is the lead guitar player with like kind of the sharp nose and the long stringy hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the lead, is he? He's a rhythm guitar player. I apologize. Because there's two. So Snake grew up with John Bon Jovi in New Jersey, of course, which everyone knows that, right? It's like a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like 16 years old and they're in somebody's basement smoking the weed like my friends do. And they were like, hey, man, if I grow up and become a rock star, I'm going to hook you up. But if you grow up, you become a rock star, you hook me up, right? And Snake's like, okay, yeah, I don't care. I'll smoke some weed. Listen to Black Sabbath with a fucking black light on, you know? So that happens. Unbeknownst to everyone, John Bon Jovi's uncle owned a multi-million dollar recording facility from the 70s and the 80s in New York City. The Rolling Stones recorded there. Mm-hmm. Ozzy Osbourne recorded there. It's like the fucking place.
Wow.
A young John Bon Jovi graduated high school, and I believe it's 80, maybe 81, in that region. Maybe it's 79 for all I know. Fuck that guy. He graduates, and he becomes the guy who cleans up in the studio in the middle of the night. But he has access at 3 o'clock in the morning to the greatest console imaginable. In 1980 and 81, you couldn't make a demo tape. It's like computers nowadays are very modern, but back then you could not do that shit. I know I'm taking over the conversation. I apologize in advance. So he makes the greatest demo tape ever. If a real band was recording up the hallway, he would throw the drummer a bag. We'd be like, come play this song. The drummer's like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Bah, 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 bah. Because he's a great drummer. Now you got to take, right? Then he gets the bass player from like somebody else, a session guy. Hey, man, you want a line? Here, come here. Do this bass line for me. Boom, 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 boom. And now John Bon Jovi has a record or a couple of songs that sound like an album. And he's a kid. He's 20, 21 years old, right? In New York City, the radio station of, you can make noise. Go ahead. There you go. Break up the fucking monotony. Bang on the table. There you go. You like banging on tables. So they break up the monotony of that time frame at K-Rock. It's where Howard Stern used to be the DJ. He was famous, blah, blah. It was a whole thing. They wanted to do a Christmas release of local bands of New York City. And Neil Bon Jovi didn't have a band. He puts in submission. Now, here's the thing, the wrinkle there. Every local band in New York City couldn't afford a $10,000 demo tape, which is an obscene amount of money 43 years ago.
Okay.
So when they had to do a single on K-Rock, the only song that they could play was this unknown artist called Bon Jovi. And the song is called Runaway. You've heard that song, by the way. She's a little runaway, do-do-do-do-do-do, right? He wrote that song. It becomes a fucking hit around the world. Like, not around the world, but it's a hit. Motley Crue was happening at the time. They were a thing.
Oh, I love Motley Crue. I didn't say Motley Crue.
Oh, we're going to talk about Motley, too, because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. You know Mick's gone, right?
I don't keep up, but that was one of my favorite concerts. I went to their concert when I was about 15 or 16. That was really fun.
So wait, you saw them when they got back with Vince Neil.
I think so.
At the Spectrum.
Yes.
Half the size. They closed down the back half, right?
So
I was there. I really was. I was sleeping with a girl whose uncle was the sound guy, and we were like right there.
Nice.
And I remember thinking, I'm going to throw my demo tape on the stage, and Nikki Sixx's going to hear it. He didn't hear it. Anyway, back to my story.
It's
a perfect job. It is. Lean in, girl. Sorry, damn. Sorry. And then you get quiet. You lean in to speak like yourself. Mm-hmm. There you go. So he puts out this thing. It becomes a hit. Doc McGee, the manager at the time of Motley Crue, currently the manager of Kiss, comes and finds him. And he's like, where do you live? Kid's like, I live in my mom's basement in New Jersey. And he's like, all right, kid, we're going to get you a record deal. And they got him a record deal. And he didn't have a band. You know what cover bands are, right? Mm-hmm. They got the best musicians locally from all the cover bands to be an instant band for him. Because if you're in a cover band, you play every night, you know, a million songs, you can really play. So that drummer, Tico Torres, is significantly older than Bon Jovi because he was in the cover band circuit. John's like 21, this guy's like 30, right? So he joins the band. Then they get the bass player. He left. He joins the band. And then this guy had just auditioned to be in Kiss, Richie Sambora. Mm-hmm. And John had his band. And of course, he was late to the rehearsal. That's a story. Sambora shows up on time and he just takes over the band. He's like, you play this, you play that. And when John walked in, he said that band sounded better than he'd ever heard in his whole life. And Richie Sambora was hired automatically, right? Mm-hmm. Boom. A couple years go by. They put a record out. No one cares. Then they get a songwriting partner. Desmond Child is his name. He wrote all those hits on Slippery and Wet. It's like Desmond Child co-wrote. Paul Stanley will tell you he found him in New York City. That was kind of his ordeal. Mm-hmm. So Paul Stanley will tell you that he found Desmond Child as the songwriter to work with Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. Bon Jovi, when they went on their first tour, opened up for Kiss. So Paul Stanley, to this day, takes credit for hooking them up. Well, they make Slippery and Wet. They become huge fucking stars. And then old Bon Jovi calls up his friend Snake and he's like, hey, Snaker, I didn't forget that thing we said 10 years ago, man, when we were in the basement, but I'm going to take half your publishing for the rest of your fucking life. Mm-hmm. And Snake's like, well, we're going to car wash. So 50% of nothing. Yeah, I'm all right with that. And they brought in Sebastian Bach from Canada, eh?
Oh,
he's Canadian. He's from Canada. So they bring him in and they make the band and it becomes a thing. And then they have huge fucking hits. Now I want to break this down for you. If you have huge fucking hits on the radio and you get paid a dollar, right? Mm-hmm. John Bon Jovi gets 50 cents of your dollar off the top forever. The other 50 cents you split five ways with your band. Mm-hmm. So you wrote a song that you get a dime for mm-hmm. and John Bon Jovi gets 50 cents for. Okay. Does that seem fucking healthy and normal to you?
No.
Of course not. Okay. He then gifts some of his 50% of Richie Sambora, his buddy's like, Richie, buddy, here's 10% for you of Skid Row's publishing indefinitely. And Richie's like, hey, that's cool. I'll buy another Maserati because I like cars. And then in the 90s, he was like, oh, I'm not really the cunt that John Bon Jovi is. So here's your 10% back, Skid Row. I would never do that to you. And they're like, that's a good idea. I'm going to ask John. So in the 2000s, this guy who's known him for 35 years calls him on the phone and says, hey, man, can I just have my publishing back? Like, I remember you isn't on the radio anymore. Monkey Business, all this shit's done. But you play it once in a while. If I could just have my publishing, it would help. And he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. I can't do that. That's business. Click.
Right.
That's fucked up.
It is.
So John Bon Jovi's worth $300 million. His daughter also OD'd a fucking heroin. Maybe he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, when I was 12, I just liked some of the songs.
You want to have sex with him. Don't lie.
No, not attractive.
He's a midget.
No. He's actually kind of girly looking.
There's nothing wrong with girly looking. Ew. Anyway, look at my pen. Just saying. So yeah.
Yeah, he sounds like an asshole.
He's not just a nice person. And then he owned that baseball team thing or football team. Arena League.
Something.
No, there was one in Philly too.
Oh, okay.
And then he was like the owner. And then someone I knew was a huge fan. Another girl I had seen briefly. And she started working for him. And we stayed in touch, that girl and I. And she was like, I have his fucking cell phone number in my phone. I could call him. I can't, but I could call him, you know? And she's like, they pay me nothing. And I was like, if you're worth $300 million, that's how you say worth $300 million. Like, and then they say he gives away food at that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That's so he doesn't pay taxes in that fucking restaurant.
That's
Yeah, but then don't write a story how he's a humanitarian. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, no,
write his Bon Jovi face.
I'm with you.
Are you?
I'm totally with you.
And then I saw Salt-N-Pepa in 94 with R. Kelly opening up on the 12 play tour.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was me, a Spanish girl, my white girlfriend, and some white dude. And everybody else was black. For far as the eye could see. It was
Salt and Pepper on, well, I guess when I used Pandora, Salt and Pepper was a good station, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you see their movie? They had a movie on like Lifetime or some shit a few months ago.
No.
Oh, you don't watch television. I forgot about that shit.
I don't. And but I do want to see that. It's maybe not, someday I will.
It's not the best movie. I'm breaking rule number one of podcast life. You must silence your phone. I apologize, listeners. We'll disregard that. Salt and Pepper's here. So, Salt, right? Not Pepper. Salt. And her boyfriend started the group. And I don't know if you know this, but all the hits, like Push It, and all was written by a guy. Everything was written by a guy.
No.
Everything. And then they got away from him, like the what a man shit. Mm-hmm. And then they severed completely and got a huge record deal without him. He sued them.
Okay.
But he could because it was his project. You know what I mean? Sure. They had to pay him something.
Sure.
But yeah, it was sad. And then poor Peppa. Have you seen her face? It looks good again. When you go into the plastic surgery matrix, right? It gets real shitty for a long time. But if you keep going, eventually they figure your face out.
Or they just give you a new one.
No, really, and that's what happened to Peppa.
Yes.
She was married to Treacherous from the, what was that called? No, that's Luke Skywalker.
Oh.
Mm. Hold on. I'm an old man. I'm thinking about it. Naughty by Nature.
Oh, yes. Okay. That was going to be my next one.
Naughty by Nature. Naughty by Nature. Not because I hate you.
Mm.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So who's your first concert?
Metallica.
And that's the first one in 96. You're 15.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the second concert?
Gosh.
Have you ever seen Aerosmith, for instance?
I saw Aerosmith many times. I've seen them a lot.
That's the one you see. You don't go to Guns, though. It's interesting.
When I was in high school, I used to go to concerts a lot, maybe shortly after. But then I haven't been to an awful lot of concerts since then. I used to take my younger sisters to the Camden, what is it called?
The Waterfront.
Thank you. Because I could get tickets really inexpensive, so I would go to like Boscov's at the mall and I would get me and my sister's tickets, and most of my friends didn't like the music that I listened to at all, so I would have to pay to take my sisters with me to these concerts. So I saw Aerosmith a lot. Who else did I see there a couple of times? I remember I saw Everlast. That was really random. Lenny Kravitz. That was fun.
I love Lenny.
Yeah.
Lenny's really good. He's tiny as well.
Yes.
His mama was the lady from the Jeffersons. You know that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good concert, but this was in Atlantic City, and it wasn't when I was that young. It was when I was in my 20s, I suppose. And I think that was, actually, I don't even really remember. Was it like Slipknot and, no, it wasn't Slipknot. I don't even remember now that I'm thinking about it. I saw three bands that I really liked, and I can't even remember any of their names.
That's a bad sign. You did say earlier, though, that you like to not remember things, and you remember what you have to. That's kind of your superpower.
And I remember, like, if I like a song, then I like it, but I don't necessarily remember who sang it.
No, that's pretty common nowadays. Okay. People listen to music on their phones. Like, I was a big fan of purchasing CDs. I still have CDs. People don't have CDs. We make CDs. We have a vinyl pressing coming out real soon of our last record, but no one gives a shit. No one gives a shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I want the stuff. Like, I can't imagine, like, all right, if a like, this is ridiculous, and I apologize in advance. I really liked Limp Bizkit, okay?
I used to like them.
Right?
A lot, yes. And I saw them in concert. That was a lot of fun.
It's probably really good, right? I liked Limp Bizkit. And then they had a record come out like a year and a half ago or something, like Dad Rock or whatever the fuck it's called. And I was like, oh, I'd like to buy this record, and it doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
You have to buy it on Spotify or on your iTunes. And like, I just want a CD.
I didn't realize
that. So the whole industry has changed. Everything's digital. No one sells records anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My band, which is archaic and very old, still makes CDs. They don't sell well at the shows. Our t-shirts sell well, our merchandise, but no one's buying CDs. My book sells better than the CDs do.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy, right?
Mm-hmm.
12 Foot Tall and Bulletproof, the autobiography of XX, available at lulu.com. That's a publishing company. Shameless plug. Hmm. Green's your favorite color?
Is my favorite color.
Does that speak to your situation, or is it something else?
Partially.
Does it really? How old were you when you discovered that?
The first time I ever smoked weed, I think about 13.
Very young.
It was actually right around here too, somewhere.
That's a bad sign, actually. Summerton in
It was in
Philadelphia.
Somerton.
There's a lot of drug use in Summerton
I
when you
know.
were a kid,
Yeah,
because there's nothing to do. So kids grow up like everybody. I'm from the city of Philadelphia, and I would travel to Abington. That's where our first band was based out of. And all the kids at Abington High School were all drug
I
addicts,
believe
and
that.
nobody was a drug addict in Philly that I knew.
I
They had
believe that.
jobs and then went to college and shit. And if you were in Abington, you're like, woo! There was a guy named Trevor. Oh, poor Trevor. Trevor booked our first show for us, and we didn't have a bass player. That was classy. But then we never stopped playing. So really, I owe Trevor my career. It's been 29 years of playing because Trevor's like, yeah, man, they're having a party when school lets out, man. I said you guys would play. And we're like, we don't have a bass player, Trevor. He's like, you'll figure it out, man. He sounded just like that. And then and he was a redheaded gentleman who then would dye it purple sometimes because manic panic and all that shit. And I had this horrific green Impala. And Trevor's taking us to go somewhere. So King Sam, the guitar player, sitting shotgun. I'm driving. Trevor's in the back with some ladies. And we hit a bump, and his purple hair stained the ceiling. For the rest of my life, I mean, yeah, I could have cleaned it, but I was a kid. I was like 18. I was like, I don't know what you did to my car, Trevor, but that purple shit's there
It
forever.
probably would not have come out.
Really? The manic panic? I don't know.
Depends.
I
I
don't
just
know
don't
either.
see.
So then we're driving. This is the long-standing joke in our lives. I'm like, you remember, there's no GPS. This is the 90s. I'm like, Trevor, you got to tell me where to turn. I'm not from around here. He's like, yeah, man. And we keep driving. He's like, hey, man, you got to turn back there. And I'm like, what? And I'm screaming at him. I'm like, you're a fucking drug addict. He's like, I know, man. Woo. So here I am on 611 doing U-turns, which is very illegal, actually, in
Yes.
this giant car filled with teenagers. And then I went back there, man, and went to our place. But that became a joke for years. Trevor, I once met his mother by mistake. I was 18. All these kids were 15 and 16 that we were hanging out with in our band. My guitar player was younger than me. He was 15, I was 18. So I met his friends, right? They were kids. I think Trevor was older. He was like 17, maybe even 18. No, I think 17. And he lived in a beautiful single home with his beautiful, educated, nice family. He's like, yeah, they want me to go to school, man. I'm just not going to go home anymore. So I ran into Trevor's mom by mistake somewhere once, and she was the nicest woman I'd ever met in my life. Jewish, smart, put together. And she was like, I don't know what's wrong with him. He has everything and doesn't care. And in my head, I was like, yeah, Trevor's fucked up. I remember it making me, at 18, you're not sad. You don't give a fuck. You're like self-absorbed. I really felt bad for Trevor's mom, dude. And we've never seen him ever again. We don't know where the fuck he is. No, he could be a doctor. I don't know. But Trevor just kind of went into the wind and just disappeared.
That I think that there's probably a lot of Trevor's out there somewhere.
Starscream's first roadie was named Trevor. No relation. And that dude vanished. His cousin's writing me. She lives in Arizona. She's like, have you heard from Trevor? And I'm like, he came to a New Year's party. I throw a New Year's party every year. You wouldn't know that yet, but it's a
You told,
thing.
you
Yeah,
mentioned
it's a
that.
thing. It's a thing. Ah! So we play and stuff. So he came to not the one for the January that just passed, but the previous January. And we hung out. He's like, I think I'm gonna move to Texas, man. And I was like, okay. And then I've never seen him again. But then he gets locked up a lot because he likes drugs and shit. So my theory is he's in jail. But then he had his birthday and he didn't call his mother. So now the theory is he might be gone. No, not funny. He might not be on the earth anymore.
Because he didn't call his Jewish mother on his
Well,
birthday.
he's not Jewish. That's a different guy.
Oh, so sorry about
It's
that.
okay.
Yeah.
They're very, very, very Christian.
Okay. So, the other reason why I like the color green is, well, I think that it just reminds me of like the grass and trees and nature, and that's what majority of nature is. So I like
There's a
green. I
lot of
like
yellows in
that.
nature in
There's so
Muskogee.
many colors in nature, but I really like that aspect of just like the green in nature. And I love green flavored candy. Always have.
So you have a green thing happening.
Yes, and green is the color that's associated with the heart chakra. So.
I didn't know that. So how versed are you in the chakra situations?
How?
How versed are you? I don't know. I don't know much about all that stuff.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more for me to learn, but I know some things.
So you're like holistic and spiritual and hippie-ish.
Yeah.
I'm asking.
I didn't grow up that way, but I've taken a lot of interest in it.
Interesting.
Yes.
So that you were talking about meditation before. You dabble.
No, I meditate every day.
Here's how I know meditation doesn't work. Ah, see the face you're making? They can't see it because there's no camera, but there's a face. Have you heard of the Beatles?
Yes.
How long did George Harrison meditate for?
Well, they were trained, the Beatles was trained by Maharishi,
right? What did he die from? Do you remember?
No.
Motherfucker cancer. So if you spent 43 years meditating and then you still die of motherfucker cancer, I don't know about that.
Oh, no.
Yes. No, he died of motherfucker cancer. Bad cancer. Like, not a small amount of cancer.
But meditation doesn't ward off cancer.
What's it do?
Meditation, there's so many different ways to meditate. But the one that I have been trained in and certified in, I think is the most effective in the sense of removing stress from your mind and body, and allows you to experience...
Breaking fucking news. I am so sorry. Yeah. Tina Turner, 83 years old, dead. Mm-hmm. That makes me fucking sad, man.
She's beautiful.
I love Tina Turner. Oh my God, breaking news. It'll be a month from now when they hear this, so it's not even breaking news. But today, on May the 24th, Tina Turner is gone.
No.
Fuck. Tina. Fuck.
83.
That's
sad.
Returning back from the sad news of Tina Turner's passing. Rest in peace, the queen of rock and roll. I'd play a song, but this isn't a fucking radio program. Okay. Back to holistic healing. The meditation thing as suspect. Again, he died of motherfucker cancer.
Yes, meditation does not ward off cancer.
What the fuck? What's the point then? We can relax through other means, can't we? All right. I've tried to meditate. I'm not as closed-minded as I'm appearing to be on this interview. Okay. However, I fall asleep every time.
That's like, fun. That's what you're going to need. That's totally fine.
I don't need that. I would just go to sleep. I'm like, let me sit down. Then it's funny where Tina Turner came up in this conversation, because she would do the chants.
Mantra.
Mantra's
great.
And I feel like that's the way to go, because then I won't fall asleep. Does your brain, do you find personally that you overthink? Because I don't think I overthink. I like to think. I don't think I overthink. What about you?
Do you mean during meditation or in general?
Generally speaking.
Yes, I think that I overthink. I think I think too deep probably sometimes.
That's a woman thing, I think.
I don't think so.
I don't know how many women you've dated, but I've dated a few. You guys are thinkers.
I know a lot of women that are not deep.
Not deep, but concerned about things that may or may not occur. Don't you think?
Oh, that's a worrier.
That's an overthinker.
I just like to figure out what the root of things are. That's what I mean when I say deep. I just want to keep knowing.
I wrote a song about that called Dig.
Oh.
I was in a relationship with someone who, whenever their lips were moving, they were lying, which I didn't know right away, because I would think, why would you lie? Eventually, I'm going to figure this out and you're going to look foolish, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, you just dig over everything. And I was like, oh, I'll write that down there, you know? And then when I wrote the song, I was like, yeah, dig. I don't even say dig in the song, but that's what it's called.
Gotcha.
It's about getting to the heart of the matter, if
you will.
That's
what I, yes. That's, I think that things are probably, the way that we see them is not necessarily the way that it really is. And that
do you think it's perception-based, or is there like bigger story? What do you mean? Explain.
I think that sometimes the way that we perceive things is not
accurate?
Well, yes, of course, not accurate, but...
The full story?
I think that sometimes people's behavior, the way that things are presenting, is not the root.
So sheep's in wolf's clothing type of thing? You think they're, like, masking?
Some, yeah, a lot of... Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, and I think that meditation helps to just remove that veil. Like, it just makes it... I think things seem unmasked, so it's not going to...
But it won't affect them. It affects you.
By meditation?
Yeah. Well, so if you're like dealing with someone on a business level, for instance, and you've meditated, so your veils are moved and you're prepared,
mm-hmm.
they can still have their veil up.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see through that veil because of meditation more, I'm asking?
Yes, with a lot of compassion.
Compassion?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. How long ago did you start meditating?
September of 2020.
So relatively newish. Yeah. It's not even 3 years yet.
Right.
All right. Now, as someone who's almost 3 years into meditation and currently crippled,
See, it did not prevent me from
Falling.
falling and breaking my ankle.
But from the story you told me previously, perhaps it was you were dashing a bit quickly with
Yes.
yes.
Yep.
You have to, well, I moved deliberately as well, to be honest. So, how has your life, and not like the surrounding portions of your life, but how has your understanding of your existence here in the past 2.5 years augmented directly because of your meditation?
Very much. Completely differently, I would say. And so much better. I just enjoy life so much better. So much more than I used to before meditation.
Why? How? For the layman, because again, I don't meditate. So I'm not, again, if I was to go meditate right now, I'd fall asleep. You're like, that's what your body
That's what you
needed.
need, yes.
Well, I nap every day, so.
Then that's good. That's really good. Well, I have done a lot of research and I'm still studying meditation and its effects on consciousness. And it basically it raises your consciousness. And I think that the more people that do it, it's going to wouldn't make somebody's consciousness raise that's next to them. But I think that people start making decisions on a stronger foundation of what their reality is and makes less mistakes and would just be a better world in general if
Do
everybody meditated.
you meditate daily?
Yes.
Is it more than once a day?
Yes.
What's your schedule?
Twice a day, 20 minutes.
It's a long time. Do you have like, you know, in the morning you're gonna do it, or you have no idea when it's gonna happen, or do you have like a plan?
I think that that's just up to the individual how they want their practice to be. Meditation is just like a practice.
No, but
So
what's yours? Your practice? Is it
mine,
random, or do you have a plan?
no, just random.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just go with how I feel because if I when I was learning, or I shouldn't say, I mean, in the beginning I was trying to stick to like a very like vigorous routine as far as getting up and exercising and meditation and yoga and things like that, but it just didn't really work out for me and it like kind of felt like a chore, so now I just do it whenever. Like and I've gotten so much better at it that I don't need a quiet atmosphere to do it. I can do it
Really?
anywhere.
That's interesting to me. So your children can be playing video games. You just go in the next room, you can do your meditation.
Totally. But I
No.
could not do that in the beginning. But
So
now I can do it anywhere, so I don't make like a thing of it because that's just
you don't
how
tell
I
anyone?
am and it makes my life easier to just do it.
How do you sit? Like Indian style or something? Or what do you
No,
do?
just regular, just
All
sit in
right,
a chair.
I'm legitimately asking questions. I want to learn, okay? So
Yeah.
if you're meditating, right?
Well, I'm not allowed to divulge everything until I'm a certified meditation teacher, which I am trying to become.
How long will it take you to accomplish that, roughly?
It depends, but the one that I'm trying to study under is you have to go to after a series of learning many techniques, there's several different techniques of meditation that you learn if you choose to over a period of time. And once you've accomplished that, if you choose to and you want to become a meditation teacher, then maybe like once a year they run a, I don't want to say a course, but for
It's
6 months you go
a get
to,
together.
I think it's in, so sorry,
It's okay.
Thailand. It's in Thailand. So
For
you go to
6 months?
Thailand for
That's
6 months and you study in an ashram basically for 6 months. And when you come out, then you're certified to teach meditation. So in the time being, I'm taking a course to become a consciousness advisor because I don't know when I'll ever get to
go to Thailand.
Thailand for 6 months. Yes. I think it'd be kind of fun actually to take my kids and just like do online school and just do it. But yeah, maybe, who knows?
I am definitely afraid of taking children to Thailand. I am.
I watch House Hunters like when they
Of
like travel
course.
with like their kids like all these different exotic
And
locations and it made me less afraid.
I just it might it's this is the United States, right? So the news we're bombarded with is dark sometimes, and you think child trafficking and things like that. Like that would scare me. You know what I
Happens
mean?
at Target in
No,
Bucks County.
I'm not saying it doesn't. I feel like I have a fighting chance when the kid knows the language. If that makes any sense. If
Yes.
I take them somewhere where they don't know the language, then I'm personally more fearful. But that's not even accurate, probably, in any capacity.
Well, I mean, there's risk with anything, right? But I don't like to say that it's not possible for me to do because I have kids, and but it is going to be
Difficult.
difficult, yeah.
But it's forever is a long time. You know. So
Yes.
there's no way to do it online. You have to physically go there for the 6 months. That's what I'm asking you.
Yes. And So I can't teach you, but I will, I'm comfortable. I'd like to talk about it.
Well, no, you're not going to teach me, because I'll tell you right now, it's never happening. I'm not that person. What? Well, what? 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 What?
It's so easy.
I'm asking for details, and you know what you said to me? I have to go to Thailand for 6 months. I can't tell you the details. So here's my, I have specific questions.
It's so frustrating that I can't tell everybody, but I have like kind of sworn.
So when you're getting certified.
So when you are becoming certified, it's about a week long process. It was like a part-time job. Every day you, there's like a series of like videos and instruction, and some of it you do at home and some of it is in person. And it's very important that you actually do the in-person. They won't do it without it being
okay.
done partially
in-person. I respect
person.
That.
So when you are trained, you're given a mantra.
So it's kind of like what Tina Turner was kind of talking about. Mm-hmm. Is it internal mantra, or is it a... So when you personally meditate, you have a mantra.
Yes.
How long? It's like 20 minutes, you said. Mm-hmm. So for the entire 20 minutes, you're just thinking the same mantra over and over again?
It's effortlessly. So you're...
Well, you're used to it. So for you, it's effortless. But for a newbie, it would be like a chore, I would suspect.
The intention is not necessarily to stay on the mantra. It's to go back to the mantra.
Because your mind
is going to wander, and it's just ridiculous to think that you're not going to think.
Okay. It's not ridiculous. I'm asking. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Well,
okay.
But people, it makes it so much harder because they think that they have to get rid of their thoughts.
I thought that too, to be honest with you.
It makes it so much harder to, but no.
That was my perception.
That's not it at all. Just notice that you're going to your thoughts and then go back to the mantra.
20 minutes. And then 20 minutes later in the day as well. And almost 3 years. Yeah, I'm assuming.
And then I just got my first advanced technique I got in March. And that was not, I didn't know what to expect.
Sure.
I thought I was getting a different mantra. Totally different. Totally different. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I thought I was going to get a new mantra.
But you didn't get a new mantra.
No, I got something totally different.
Interesting.
It is.
How did you happen across this in your life?
Because I think, like I mentioned, I was always like digging. I think I just I've always from very, 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 very young age, I just wanted to know like why we were here.
I respect that.
And nobody could tell me. And I was always trying to ask different people and I was getting really stupid answers. And I guess somewhere along the line, I just started to believe that the only way for me to know would be to experience it. And the only way that I was hearing that I could experience it was through meditation.
When you were a child, was your family religious at all?
No, I mean, I was baptized Catholic. Mm-hmm. I never received my sacraments, went to CCD. But we celebrated Christmas and Easter.
That's pretty much every Catholic, though. That's kind of the gig.
Yeah.
You know, the heavy ones are like, there's the Mother Mary procession in May and all that stuff. But pretty much it's just like Christmas, Easter. So you didn't go like weekly at all?
No.
I was forced for a long time.
Sorry.
No, it's not the worst things that ever happened. You want to hear something weird? I went down a rabbit hole mentally a week and a half ago, and I looked up my parish because it still exists. And I was an altar boy in the 80s, and I would go, and I had to be there at like Mass was 7 o'clock in the morning, and school wasn't until 8:30, right? Maybe Mass was at 6:30 or something. I had to get up like early, and it was still dark out. I was like, it's dark out. And then I'm walking in the nighttime to go be an altar boy for 45 minutes, whatever the Mass was, 40 minutes probably, and then go back home. And then just go right back to school. Do. And you only had to do that like once every few months. You got a week for that. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do one day? I'm going to go to Mass at like 6 o'clock in the morning in my parish just for old time's sake, right? They don't do it anymore. They do one service on Sunday now. When I was a kid, there were like five Masses on Sunday. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11:30. Like you had a bunch of options. Not anymore.
I don't think people are going as much.
It was like upsetting. I was like, whoa. And not that I... Again, I'm not into the whole Catholic thing. We discussed that off microphone. It's not my thing per se, right? Yeah. The whole kid touching thing, I am fucking pretty anti, let me tell you, right? Yeah. That'll shake you to the core. But I just thought it'd be nice to go to a Mass in my old church. It's not even a fucking option. And I was like, whoa. And they still have the school. It's still there. People I went to school with are on the teaching staff.
I believe
that. That's so weird. Like I read a name and I'm like, whoa. And then somebody I disliked tremendously, who was a year ahead of me in grade school, was the principal for a long time. Yeah. That noise you made? Yeah, that noise. Fuck that guy. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it just, it's one mass a week. They, this giant church, and it's beautiful. You go in, there's like stained glass windows. They use it once a week now. That's a shame. It is a shame. Well, I mean, who's going to go, right? Everybody died, I guess. When I used to be the kid, there were like three people there. You know what I mean? And it was always like a revolving door of like older folks. It was a thing.
Yeah, so it's just, we didn't do it very much growing up. I had a lot of questions. Nobody wants to answer.
So
I would say capitalism was the main.
Are you anti-capitalism?
Religion in our house growing up. Yeah, it's not my favorite thing. But
what's your, what would you, if you could have an economic standing, what would it be?
I think it's called, hold on, I forget what it's called. I'm going to look it up. I wasn't sure for a really long time. I'm like, what is this thing like I have in my mind? That would be perfect.
No worries.
And then apparently it does exist. Or there's other people that think about it too.
Yeah, obviously. Everything exists.
It's called Ontocracy. Ontocracy, O-N-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y.
Definition?
It says, an ontocracy aims to develop a truth-centric civilization based on human evolution in harmony with our ecology, Mother Earth. People over profits, creation in harmony with the planet, and taking on the biggest problems we face, wealth and inequality.
It doesn't give me an economic standing, though. I don't know. I'm a business owner. You were a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty fan of capitalism, if I'm honest with you,
mm-hmm.
because we're successful in what we do because we work harder and we show up and we like, I don't know. I like that about the society. Some people don't like it. I like it.
I think that it's got pros and cons. That's all.
No. Nothing's perfect. I'm not in the dark. I have a Lithuanian background. We've discussed where your background's from. I remember when Russia was a communist nation because my family is Lithuanian and Lithuania was under that regime. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have a choice in the matter. That was it. Mm-hmm. There was no religion, which is sad. You should be able to worship whatever the fuck you want. For real. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm right, but that's how I feel. And if you were, the theory was, if you're a doctor and if you're a street sweeper, you all should live the same.
Mm-hmm.
From personal experience, because again, my family visited there. I had family from there who visited here. I understand the whole thing better than most in this day and age, especially Generation Y and all that stuff. They're like, communism. Whoa. What happens, it's a pyramid. And at the top of the pyramid, mm-hmm. whoever their leaders are mm-hmm. corrupt as fuck.
Right.
And then they have beach houses and Mercedes Benzes and like drivers, and you starve.
Yes.
At least here, I can go out and I can make a buck. At least.
I understand.
And so I like that as an idea. Like, people come from other countries to come here, and they do. They get breaks and stuff and tax relief, which I personally am not anti. Some people are. I think it's kind of nice. And they can make a business, and they can become, within one generation, if not wealthy, comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's, I like that. There's not a lot of countries in the world where that's that free economic thing where you're able to do such a thing.
Yes.
So I'm not saying capitalism is perfect at all, but I'm an old man, mm-hmm. and I like our country a little bit. I like mm-hmm. that stuff.
I understand.
Okay. You should see your face right now.
The only thing that I can say is I think that they both emerge from the same root. You can't solve a problem with the same like old mindset, I guess. So I think that that's also why I like meditation and raising consciousness, is because I think that it's alarming to me that for so long our choices have only been like, I don't know, like Republican or Democratic. And I know that people have
wanted. No, that's shocking. I'm with you.
But to me, it's like, I just cannot understand like why come up with another solution. It's just because capitalism is better than something doesn't mean that like, so we just stop there. So we don't try to think of something better.
That's a good sentence.
That's all I think.
I want to rebut with this though. As far back as the Bible, mm-hmm. any human beings that have been in government have been shit. If you're a politician, you might go in with really great intentions, right? Oh, here's a cool thing. Remember the Sex Pistols?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a huge Sex Pistols fan. I know you don't know as much about music as I do, but I adore this shit. Johnny Rotten, they made a movie in like 2002 about the Sex Pistols, a documentary. Julian Temple made the movie.
Okay.
And Johnny Rotten, or John Lydon, as he's called today, is interviewed throughout the whole film. And at the end, he starts to cry because they showed Sid Vicious dying, and that was his friend, right? And he's like, I'm in my 40s and Sid's dead. That's fucked up. He should be in his 40s too. You know what I mean? It's sad. Drugs, right? And he's like, I got to tell you something. I've been in this music business thing a long time. Our band broke up. Only the fake people survive. You two still here. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you're full of shit, you'll be around forever. But if you have integrity, you're not going to last. So if you want to be a politician, you're not going to have a lifelong career as a politician if you really want to help people, because they will push you out.
Yes.
If you don't play ball with this giant organized fucking piece of shit, and it is a giant organized piece of shit, they will force you out. So but it's been like that since the Bible.
But like, that's what I mean. That's like, why, if we know that it's been
bad the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can almost see it, right? Because I'm at that age where I'd run. This is the age I'd be if I was going to run, right? And I thought about this occasionally. And you go in, you're like, I'm really going to help my constituents. I can't say the word. Constituents. I don't know how to say it. Those people. They vote you in. You're like, I'm going to help. And then the first day you go in, they're like, well, you're the new guy, so you don't have any power to do anything. Just sit back there and keep your mouth shut, and we're going to vote on stuff. And then you make friends with these guys that have been around for 30 years, and they want you to vote for them, and they'll say, hey, if you do this, I'll help you that. And a year goes by, and now you're like, wow, I've done nothing. I've accomplished nothing, and I'm just taking up space, and now it's time to start running for re-election. And you're like, what the fuck? So then you're now in the machine. You're like, okay, if I get a second term, I got this. I'm going to be all right. And now you get the second term, and now you're like beholden to all the people who paid for the second term. And they're like, well, I would like you to let us dump toxic chemicals here. Come on, I did give you that much money for your thing. You want it for your next one, right? Mm-hmm. And it's this fucking never ending Ouroboros, the snake that eats itself. Like, it's just what it is. It's sad.
I just am over it. It's so stupid.
No, I agree. I don't think political. I don't talk about it. I don't worry about it. Like, people have really strong opinions. I do not. I do not. I think both parties are fucked.
I think it's a goofy show, and I just, no.
And, all right, I want to ask you your opinion on something, because I don't know the answer. Were people always crazy over this shit, or are we just seeing it now because of social media, and they were always crazy, or did social media ramp these people up and put them on a soapbox? I don't know which is true. Like, as a little kid in the 80s, I know I didn't care about politics. I was a child. In the 90s, I was, you know, I went to college. I was trying to have sex with girls. I didn't give a fuck. I just didn't care. I still don't care. I don't care. Like, I didn't know the mayor of Philadelphia was coming up for election. I hate him, by the way, because he did a thing. He made a soda tax. Did you hear about that?
I think I did hear that.
And then it was for the schools. Yeah. And I don't drink soda, but I buy soda for my guys, right, on our lunch thing. And I'm like, whatever, we'll pay it. And now it's been 5 years, and we're like, oh, where'd the money go? And they literally said, we don't know. They literally said it. And now he's not running for re-election. So the fact that he probably stole $8 million or so of tax money that wasn't even necessary for no reason, that's fucked up. So I don't like that guy. I'm not a fan. And he's gone. He's going to retire and take his $8 million and vanish.
Right.
Weird times.
The politics thing ties in together with the questioning why we were here from a very young age. So I think that what I was trying to understand when I look back at, like, being a very young person trying to figure out, like, what this place is and what you're doing in it, I just wanted to know who my boss was. And I realized, though, I asked my parents, who's your boss? And they told me, okay, this is my boss. Who's their boss? Who's their boss? Who's their boss? Who's the boss? Like, I just wanted to know who the boss was.
Okay.
So a lot of times the bosses are the leaders, right, in politics, but then whenever I would ask questions about that foundation or whatever it is that they had us learn or try to memorize in school, I realized that there was not a strong foundation, that it was a weak foundation, and that there was just, that's not who our bosses are.
I get it.
So then I start going more into...
So you weren't always self-employed, but you had employers initially.
Mm-hmm.
At what point in your life did you decide that you wanted to be self-employed? And what was the galvanization of it? Was it just a profit thing for you, or did you just want to be controlling stuff yourself?
I really, really did not like that. So much of my life was not in my control whatsoever. So the majority of my work was not controlled by me. I did the actual, like, physical hair, and I did well with it, but I had no control over like the computer, my book, my schedule. If taking time off, I was like, I was there for a really, really, really long time.
Sure,
So kind of like with the handicap thing, I was just like,
well, they don't know what that means, but yes.
Okay. Sorry. It's something that we spoke about before. Just totally just not respected, taken for granted for too many years, and just totally like.
Were you still in your 20s when you broke out, or when you were 30s?
30s.
So you were there a long time.
I hit my 20-year mark when I put my
lies.
In.
And they didn't care.
Oh, they cared.
Today, they cared then.
Yeah.
Did they offer you peace?
She told me that she would have buried a body for me. I'm like, I don't want a body. I want a fucking raise. Like, I don't want to kill anybody. I want a raise.
And what'd you say?
Nothing. I hadn't gotten a raise in like almost 10 years at that point. It was very long.
But no, did you negotiate money when you were going to leave, or she wasn't even going to have that negotiation?
We didn't negotiate anything. I had accepted another position. And at the end of the day, I was disposable. So
I don't know. It's sad. 20 years is a long fucking time, don't you think? No? You know?
Yes, it's a long time. I have too much to say for...
They don't know you. They don't listen to this podcast. Say what you want.
Ugh, I don't know if I have the energy for it, actually. That would be a whole separate podcast. I have a lot of things that I feel about the service industry in general.
Well, give me a tidbit for podcast number two.
I just think that they thrive off of... a lot of the owners, I think, thrive off of just people being young, dumb, having ADHD, not knowing it. Like, they just feed off of young people that...
How much older than you was the owner? Roughly.
It was a husband and wife, and they had quite an age difference, so...
So was she kind of your age-ish?
No, she was older. She would probably be... Let me think. I would say 30 years older than me, about.
So she was towards the end when you left. Why'd you say that? Do the math. She's like 67 years old.
No, she's still.
How much longer do you want to go? I don't want to work forever.
She does.
Aw, that's interesting. So they're still cooking.
Yes.
Do you still speak? You're making a face. They can't see the face. You should see the eyes. Oh, that was a whole thing.
No, because I was started there from such a young age, and I really looked at them as being
parental
figures, and I'm very angry now at things that they could have done better.
Was it ignorance or was it malice? Because it's like...
and entitlement.
Well, it's theirs. You know what I mean? They could be a little greedy. No?
A little is fine.
I like the free economy that you left. Like, I like that if you don't like what's happening, you can bounce. I bounced.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I was too ignorant and arrogant when I started my company to give a fuck. Because I knew I was getting unemployment, right? I had like a good, I had 6 months where my bills were going to be paid from the stupid unemployment when I left, right? And then I don't know, it's 13 years later, I'm still here. That's nice. I like that it's there. You know, so I don't know.
Well, I think that the difference is that they took young people who were impressionable, made them what they needed them to be to fulfill their need, and really, really, really harshly pushed back on people wanting to do any better than what they were doing. If that makes sense.
It does. So
and I think that that's really
you felt it felt stifling.
Very, very. I mean, and very stifling, if that's the way you want to put it. And just that's just crummy. I just personally, if I'm going to train somebody, and I don't mind if they get better than me, and I don't mind if they want to do more than what I can offer them, then I'm not going to like tear them down. I'm going to help them do that. And it was not like that.
Well, then it comes down to fear. You're so productive. They don't want to lose you because you make them so much money. I would suspect.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
Personally,
yeah.
I try to take my employees and I want to teach them how to run their own businesses, and they can leave and they can have their own companies. So I'm a roofer. One guy came in and he was like a sheetrock guy, and I taught him roofing with me for a few years, and hopefully he's off somewhere doing sheetrocking now. You know what I mean? With the tools that I had taught them, which aren't overly complicated, how to start a business. You know what I mean? Like, I'm with you. I know. I feel like I'm constantly in the minor leagues of baseball. Like, I train somebody and I get them good, and then they go off and do their own thing, which they should, because I know I'm making the lion's share of the money. You're getting paid X amount, but I'm getting paid many X's.
Right.
And eventually you should catch on and go do your own thing, but you learned the trade.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. You know what I mean? And so I've definitely lost people over the years. Some come back, like they'll hit like a wall. Mm-hmm. They need some money. Hey, Vex will pay me. You know what I mean? So I'll go work there and they already know the job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, eventually they have to get out of the nest and fly. We're building entrepreneurs, really. That's what I like to think.
That's what I would think it should be too, but that was not the case.
That's our old school.
It was old school.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
But you left and you did it yourself, and mm-hmm. that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good place to end.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 186 of the Vex and Vex podcast. Danielle, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. The Vex and Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loader Network. This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.